In the place of judgment, we have joy. In the place of despair, we have incredible delight because of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Jesus could claim, and that's what he was doing on this occasion right here, as he harked back to Isaiah 61 and read it there in that Jewish synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus could claim that he was the Messiah. The Messiah is the one anointed by God to carry out God's salvatory or his salvation purposes on earth. That's what the Messiah is, the one anointed by God to carry out God's salvatory or saving purposes on earth. And Jesus could claim that he was that Messiah. And then he could identify, and he does that very precisely and very pointedly in verse 18. And that's the verse we want to focus in on. He could claim that he was Messiah, and then he could identify man's terrible malady. He gives us some very real insight into that malady, that disease, that sickness, tremendous need of humanity in verse 18. And then he could lay out his powerful remedy for those conditions. I believe he does that in a very precise fashion. In verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." And I would suggest there's not a one of us who should fail to thank God for Christ's great redemptive ministry in our behalf. And there's not a one of us who should fail to make sure that we have tapped into that great redemptive ministry by faith. Seems to me, in verse 18, that there are two great facets of that ministry laid out for us, and I want to share those two great facets with you for just the next few moments. As I look at verse 18 of Luke, the fourth chapter, the first thing I see is the great dynamic of Christ's ministry. What was the underlying dynamic behind, the spiritual dynamic behind the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? The great dynamic of Christ's ministry is this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. Jesus was dependent upon the spiritual dynamic of the Holy Spirit in his earthly ministry, and you and I are dependent upon the spiritual dynamic of the Holy Spirit in our ministry as well. But I want to emphasize next the great deliverance of Christ's ministry. And it's really a fivefold deliverance. He says, number one, do you notice there's just a tremendous deliverance, a tremendous release that comes through the redemptive ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something we should rejoice in and celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We want to be reminded of this tremendous deliverance. He says, number one, the bankrupt are enriched. Jesus has come, the Bible says, in order that he might preach the gospel to the poor. And the implication is that the gospel is an enriching message. He brings a message of good news to the man who's poor. And the good news is simply this. The good news is that humanity can now be enriched because Jesus Christ was willing to be impoverished. A part of that great deliverance in this great redemptive ministry of Christ is this: the bankrupt are enriched. He preaches the gospel to the poor. And when you respond to that gospel and you receive that Christ, you're never cheated. You're always blessed. You won't be impoverished any longer. You'll be enriched. One, the bankrupt are enriched. Secondly, the brokenhearted are healed. Do you notice the Bible says there that he's come not only to preach the gospel to the poor, but he says that he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. He deals not only with the spiritually destitute, but with the emotionally shattered. The emotionally shattered. Those who are spiritually destitute and poverty-stricken and out of touch with God and need to know the enrichment of a relationship with God, and those who are emotionally shattered. That term broken is a very powerful term. It's in the perfect tense. It means that we stand permanently in this condition apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the term which means to break, smash, or destroy physical objects. And to do so in the most violent and ruthless way. It was a term of warfare. It was used in warfare to describe annihilation. It's a very powerful term, broken in heart. Psychologically, I think that's how it's used in this passage, not physically. But psychologically, it came to describe anxiety, fear, dread, and despair. It came to describe shattered hopes. We live in a world like that. People who experience shattered hopes, dread, and despair. You know the primary cause of a broken heart or a sense of despair? There might be other contributing factors to it, but the primary cause of a broken heart or a sense of despair is mankind's detachment from God. Sooner or later, a man is bound to give up hope when he's given up God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way back to God. If it is true that despair at the heart or at the base of despair lies our detachment from God, then it's good news to know that Jesus Christ is the way back to God. Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14 and verse 6. Paul could say, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, one bridge between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. In the place of care, there comes contentment. In the place of worry, there comes wonder. In the place of fear, we have fortitude. In the place of judgment, we have joy. In the place of despair, we have incredible delight because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. This ministry is first of all a ministry to the bankrupt. The bankrupt are enriched. Secondly, to the brokenhearted, they're healed. Thirdly, to the bound, they're released. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Do you notice there in the heart of verse 18? To preach deliverance to the captives, to the morally conquered. That word captive is a very powerful word. It's a military term. It means to take prisoner at spear point. And it means that we're engaged in a great spiritual warfare, a great spiritual conflict on this globe. In this world, we have three great enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can be bound by societal pressure. We can be bound by sin itself, not only by the world, but by the flesh. The scripture says his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden or bound. We can be bound by Satan. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. John 8 and verse 44. You will to do it. That is, you are bound to do it. We have great enemies who make us their prisoners in this world. But we're taught that the coming and the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ is designed to emancipate men from their awesome and overpowering foes who hold them in their grips. We can be delivered. We can be emancipated. Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator in the universe. If you're spiritually destitute, the bankrupt can be enriched. If you're emotionally shattered, the brokenhearted can be healed. The bound can be released. Jesus came to announce deliverance to those who are captives. He sets us free from the world, the flesh, and from the devil, from societal pressure, and from sin itself, and from Satan. Then number four, he says, the blind are sighted. And I believe he's dealing here with the intellectually groping. The blind are those who are groping in the darkness of human reason because they've rejected or don't understand divine revelation. The blind are those who exist in the quagmire, so to speak, of no fixed axioms or absolutes. And that kind of blindness, that kind of living, makes life intolerable and unbearable. Jesus Christ is the true light. And John 1:9 says he gives this light to every man that cometh into the world. In Jesus Christ, the shadows and the mists are gone. The days of guessing and groping are ended. There's no more need for a wistful agnosticism. The light has come in Jesus Christ. He's the true light. In Jesus Christ, the distant, unknowable, unreachable, invisible God is brought into focus. And he's made near. He's come to men. The darkness and the obscurity are over in the person of Jesus Christ. And God is no longer a stranger, but he becomes our everlasting friend and our everlasting father as we come to Christ. So the bankrupt are enriched, the brokenhearted are healed, the bound are released, the blind are sighted, and finally the bruised are restored. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Here he's dealing with a mortally wounded. Bruised is a very strong term. It's the word which means to be oppressed. It means to be downtrodden. Listen, it means to be crushed or broken. Literally, it means to break in pieces. That's what that word bruised means. Very powerful term. Thrao is the Greek word. It means to break in pieces. It's in the perfect tense again. Describes a permanent condition, a settled condition. That word bruised is the one word in this list, perhaps, which describes the ultimate consequence of sin, the disintegration. That's death. The disintegration of the human being and of human society. But even here, the Bible says, even here, Jesus Christ can set us free. Jesus Christ is the one person in the universe who can put the pieces back together. Remember that little lyric we learned when we were children, when Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall? And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ can take the broken pieces of lives. He can take the broken pieces of marriages. He can take the broken pieces of families and he can put them back together again. And that's precisely what he says in this passage. We can be mended and we can be restored. The bruised, the shattered, the broken in pieces are set at liberty. They are restored. We can be mended and restored by Jesus Christ as we bring ourselves under his jurisdiction. And that's the most difficult thing modern man has to do. He must bring himself under the jurisdiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must bow the knee to the lordship of the Son of God. The offer of Jesus Christ is rich and free. The demand of Jesus Christ is rigorous and great. He offers us salvation. He demands of us submission. We must submit to his authority. And as we submit to the Son of God and receive him as our Lord and Savior, he enriches our lives. And he takes the broken pieces and he puts them back together. Lives, marriages, families. That happens to individuals when they submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Christ's great redemptive ministry in our behalf. Luke 4 and verse 18, we've looked at it only in skeletal outline and very hurriedly. What's the dynamic of that ministry? It's the Holy Spirit. Same dynamic you and I need in our personal lives and our families and in this church. And what's the deliverance of that ministry? Five great provisions. The bankrupt are enriched, the brokenhearted are healed, the bound are released, the blind are sighted, the bruised are restored. That's the great deliverance of his redemptive ministry. Are we the spiritually destitute? No standing with God, no assurance that we're on our way to heaven, never opened up our hearts to the Savior. We don't know that we're born again, that we've been enriched by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Are we the spiritually destitute, the emotionally shattered? Are we the morally conquered, the intellectually groping? Are we the mortally wounded, broken in pieces? Then Jesus Christ, according to this great passage, is the one who alone can set us free from these tragic consequences of our sins. And it means that we must learn to trust him. We must receive him as our Lord and Savior. We must translate. You say, well, I agree with these concepts up here in my head. We must translate mental belief and mental agreement into a decisive act of trust. We must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, we invite you to do it. Settle that issue. Perhaps we've already done so. We are the enriched. The bankrupt are enriched. We are the healed. The brokenhearted are healed. We are the released. The bound are released. We are the sighted. The blind are sighted. We are the restored. The bruised, those broken in pieces, are restored. They're set at liberty. That describes you and me, we who are Christians. What does it mean to us? It means that we must abandon all else and serve Jesus Christ alone. It means that we cannot reflect upon this great deliverance, this great redemptive ministry of Christ, and fail to give him all that we are and all that we have. It means that we cannot be stingy with our lives in the face of such abundance which he has poured into our lives.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.